All right, so the men have been challenging themselves, reviewing a book, studying a book, but it's not just about the book, really, because, you know, the whole world is celebrating, talking about fathers. But, sir, it is boys, males, who transit to become fathers. Now, I think it was some years ago, I think I was just kind of meditating, right? And I realized that there's a process, okay? And by process, there should be some certain steps that a male, child, boy, goes through before he becomes a father. And if that transition is not followed through, we are going to have accidents. And let me just take us through it, and then you will review the book for us. It's a very wonderful book. We're not trying to sell the book or do a free advert, but let me challenge everyone, every male, to go read this book. It's called The Dignity of Manhood, and it's by Billy Akoni. The Dignity of Manhood. Now, what is this process? You have a boy, a baby boy, okay? So the baby boy grows up and he becomes a toddler boy. And then the boy becomes grows into adolescence, becomes a teenager, a teenage boy. And then the teenage boy should go through a process to become a man. And then the man to go through a process to become, let me test you. Okay, baby boy, toddler boy, teenage boy, young man.
Become an old man.
No, not an old man. the destination is fatherhood.
Fatherhood, okay.
All right, let me just quickly say that. So, the young man must transit and grow to become a husband. And then the husband becomes the father. You see, society and as a psychologist and you know some of these things, has shown that there's a problem when we have boys who don't become men, who don't become husbands, suddenly become fathers. Or we have a young man who doesn't know what it means to be a husband, suddenly become a father. There is always that vacuum. And, you know, today is not to highlight or moan over, you know, because I know so many people are watching and probably you're looking at something is missing in that line of process. Now, the aim of the Word of God is to come to heal, to deliver, to rectify whatever has gone wrong. So, before we talk about fatherhood, we need to understand what it means to be a man. So, that's why we're looking at manhood. Now, you know, all the men have been reviewing, studying, sharing this book, and you want to do, I think, the first four chapters, just a quick review. And please, if you're watching online, you read the book, or you want to know about the book, hey, hello, Noah and Joshua. Those are my two sons. They couldn't be in the studio today. We got a letter during the week that one of our sons should isolate. He didn't test positive, okay. They just said he should sit down. And he's very upset that he can't come to church today, physically. So Joshua, on behalf of whoever, we welcome you. So, sorry you can't be here, but we celebrate you. You know, it's good when you're a pastor and you have sons and you don't force them to church. They want to come.
Yeah.
Please clap for me. I think I've done something good there. All right. So, you want to tell us the first four chapters, but let's take it one by one. The first chapter says why a male Over to you, sir.
Okay, so thank you, sir. For those who are watching, we, the men, have been studying this book for the past couple of weeks, 3-4 weeks now. And the whole idea is just for us as men to just come to understand who we really are, to understand the man that is in depth within us, and also, you know, to actualize that full potential that God wants us to be as men. So the first chapter of this book really was just talking about the, I've got a few points there, the divine organogram, and it comes with a flow chart. It's just looking at, you know, how God designed, you know, the position of a man, you know, and, you know, himself and Christ and the man and the woman, you know, God's special design. Which is, you know, the one that's God himself, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Christ, who is the head of the man, and we have the man, and we have the woman. So it's just talking about, you know, our responsibilities and our authority that we have as men, and what God has placed in us as men to understand who we are, as Christ is the head of the church. You know, we are the head of the woman, which is our wives, and you know, he wants us to play that role of authority, of sonship, and responsibility.
All right, let
that's
me
what chapter one really
let me
summarize.
Let me kind of say something there that can be a little bit controversial. Let me play Holy Ghost advocate.
Okay.
You know, people say the other advocate. All right. Now you mentioned organogram.
Yeah.
Dr. Uche, are you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Please listen to this, right? I'm not picking on you, but I just want us to look at something here. Now, you mentioned the organogram,
yes, sir.
Which is the hierarchy.
Yeah, the hierarchy.
So, at the top is who?
God.
God, yeah?
We have
followed by?
Christ.
Christ.
We have the man.
Okay, I think you need to. Can you hear me?
So, can you hear me? So we have God.
Okay.
We have God, who is the first, and you know, with God we have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit into one. Then we have Christ.
Yeah.
You know, the mediator between God and man.
Okay.
And we have the man who is supposed to actually play the image of God.
Right.
The glory of God.
Okay.
And we have the woman.
All right. Good. So
who is the glory of the man?
Of the man.
Created for the man.
Okay. So. For those,
yeah,
I know we are talking about manhood,
mm-hmm.
but for those who don't agree, or don't let me say agree, what about those who don't have a man? I'm talking of those who are not married.
Okay,
that's why I was mentioning, like, Dr. Uche. Another free advert for Dr. Uche today. Okay. You're not smiling, Dr. Uche. Smile. Somebody potential is watching. Okay. All right. Now, okay, from your organogram.
Yeah.
God, Christ, man.
Yeah.
So the man then is the head of the woman.
Yeah.
But that's in a marriage context. So what about when we have maybe the likes of Dr. Uche? Who are they heading? And then we have, I'm not mentioning anybody's name, but a woman who is unmarried. So, if there's no man, because I just want us to get it right there.
Yeah.
So, who is the head of the woman?
Well, I think this book as well is also looking at those who are not married. I mean, to actually learn some principles, because one day they'll get married. And also, in another aspect, you can look at it as you as a man, you have an environment. So, you can call that woman. That place you are taking care of, which is your job, your maybe family.
Right.
So you can use that as, if you're not married yet, you can use that as an example. It's okay. This is my responsibility at this point in time.
Okay.
So, and that follows into that organogram, because as a man, before you can take certain decisions, you have to go to Christ. You know, you have to stay in that position of relationship.
Okay.
To make a decision. So if you're not married, you can actually use that as, you know, benchmark to say, okay, you know, okay, in this particular situation I'm actually in at the moment in my work, or, you know, a friend I'm seeing, I've got, I've Christ, who is my head.
Okay.
And I'll play that authority or that position in actually, you know, proving that, okay, I'm the image of Christ, I'm the image of God, then I'll actually use that authority and responsibility to actually, you know, make decisions over a particular situation we are in.
All right. Time. So the man who is not married.
Yeah.
And in that context of not having
female
gender head, you know, some people might disagree. Are you getting me? So please feel free to disagree, but let's look at the scriptures, okay?
Yeah.
Because in the world we live in now, everybody has their own opinion. Everybody has Facebook. Everybody has their own social media platform. And they spill things out there.
Yeah.
And people would believe, so that people who would not agree that the man is the head of the woman. So that's why I'm bringing the context. Okay, what if we have a woman who's not married, or we have a man who's not married? So what is he heading? Dr. Uche, do you want to chip anything here?
Well, just to quickly add that, you know, this is within the context of the family, you know, so because everything has to be explained within context, because we know that there's a feminist feminism movement out there. This, what Folution has just described, is God's order. And we know that the family unit and marriage was God's idea. So it was God that originally designed it. So when we're thinking of the role of different genders within the family context, we have to refer to God's blueprints, basically, rather than any social construct or social experiment or so on. So for the unmarried man or the unmarried woman, Christ is our head, and the head of Christ is God. Within the family context, God has said, not man, not any pastor, God has said that the man is the head of the woman, Christ is the head of the man. Now, the Bible also says that we are all submitted to God, that we should all submit to one another under Christ. So if that's the case, then it means that it's not a question of lordship or lording it over anybody. As the woman is submitted to the man within the family context, the man is also submitted to Christ. The man cannot lead her outside of Christ's guidance. You know, so any woman, you know, within the family context should understand that that's really basically the way the organogram refers to them. But a man who is unmarried is submitted to Christ. A woman who is unmarried is submitted to Christ. We are all co-heirs and partakers in the kingdom.
Thank you very much for that, Dr. Uche. It's good to hear it from you. Like what you've said, to bring it in context, this is in the context of family. And potentially, if this will help anyone who's not, I mean, any male, our focus today is on males, any male who's not yet married, to understand what they are stepping into when they marry. Like Dr. Uche said, the authority, you don't have any authority outside of Christ over your spouse. So you can't usurp and just like, you know, we have people who just bandy it around and the next thing they say, look, I'm your head. They marry and the next thing, I'm your head. I'm telling you, such heads, I find that are not correct. Most times, you know, I'm speaking English that's not very proper. Such heads are not right. They're not, you know, what gives you authority is that you are under authority. You love your wife as Christ loved the church. So if you are a male, a man, and looking to marry, you are not marrying so that you can start lording and enter into CEO. Managing director of another human being, and then you become the lion of the tribe of Judah of your house. No. So let's get that balance. Apostle Cruz,
so,
you want to chip in anything here?
Just quickly, if we look at Philippians 2 from verse 5 to 11, it talks about...
Can you say that again? Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. It said, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped with, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. And when the Bible talks about the organogram, if you look at the relationship between Christ and God, it talked about the fact that they were equal in form, they were equal as God. And there's no submission if there's no equality. If there was never an equality, it would have been, you have to obey. So like Noah and Joshua, they have to obey, and because that's the father-son relationship. But what happened initially is that we're equal in Christ, and God asked that organogram to be in place. So Christ submitted himself, and that was what made him to be able to sit at the right hand of God, to have what God has done. So in terms of the organogram, we look at God as the Godhead. Christ, who submitted his equality to become subject to God. And then we have the man, because Christ is the head of the church, and the church is one body. So in reality, you have the man and the woman as one body. But what Christ is asking is for the woman to submit under the authority of the man. And God is looking at the man as the head of the woman, just as how God is the head of Christ, more or less. So in reality, this is just to help those who may not grasp the organogram that we're talking about, as was said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, where he talked about the fact that God is the head of Christ, and Christ is the head of the man, and the head of the woman is the man. It's not about lording it over, like Pastor said. It's not about an authority that is there. It's just what God has set up, and the way God looks at it. So that it talks about the fact that he looks at the man as the cover for the woman. The man is meant to be like what Christ did for the church, where he gave himself, the totality of himself, the whole of his life, for the woman. So in terms of being the head, it's even a lot of work. It's a lot of responsibility. That was what we found out from, I think, 3 months of reviewing that book.
Let me pause you there. Please say that again. In terms of being the head, is more of taking
responsibility.
Go on, sir.
So even though God sees us as the body of Christ, he expects the man to take the responsibility to die for his, to give his life for his wife and his family, to be able to step out, to do the things that Christ did for the church by dying and giving the whole of himself to us so that we can be saved. So just to give clarity to what we're talking about.
Thank you very much. These are very powerful men. Please, let's celebrate these three men, Apostle Cruz, Dr. Uche, and Felicia here. Now, the scripture you read, Damola,
yes, sir.
I saw something here. And, you know, you talked about responsibility. You know, being the head means you're actually taking responsibility. The word responsibility is from the word responsible. You must be a responsible male. Responsible man. You want to lord, but you don't want to take responsibility. You want to command, but you are not ready to be responsible. Thank you for those contributing online. You know, that scripture you read, let me quickly say that, and then we'll read some comments I can see here flowing. Please, let's keep it flowing. We're looking at why the male, okay? The male is what becomes the man at the end of that, the father. So let's focus. If you are not a responsible male, please forget about being a father or husband, or husband and father. Right, it says, Christ took the form of a bond servant. So this headship we're talking about is responsibility and service. Are you ready to serve your wife? I mean, all the women are getting excited now. I can feel it inside me. Please, all the women in the house, yeah, please, can you clap? Are you ready to serve? Love your wife. I like that, amen. As Christ loved the church. That is the headship we're talking about. We need to balance things, because if you are a responsible man, mm-hmm. and you're a man who's ready to serve, I doubt if your wife, I doubt if you, a woman who was not, who would not be ready to submit to you. Mm-hmm. You're serving, you're responsible, you're seeing results. The woman will, come on, this is a winning team. I want to be part of this. So we need to balance things like that, because, you know, we get a lot of conflicts where, you know, of course, one of the things men love is, we can't rule that out, men love to be respected.
Yeah.
But excuse me, I think respect is earned. You're smiling.
No, it's just a comment.
Okay, what's the comment?
Please, Pastor, you're upsetting some husbands.
Please, Pastor, you are upsetting some husbands. Let them be upset. No, we are not upsetting. We are resetting. Mm. Please clap for me. We have to reset things according to the Word of God. We have to. I must be a responsible man. Mm. Ready to serve my wife and my family.
That's a Bible.
And that's the problem we have about when we miss that process,
yeah.
and we become fathers. Now you now have an irresponsible young man who did not become a man, who doesn't know what it means to be a man.
Yeah.
Suddenly jump. He's not even a husband. He doesn't know what it means to be a husband, to serve. And then he suddenly becomes a father. And then you create problems for the society. But God is resetting things today so that we can bring us to the place of repentance. Amen. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on. Okay?
Yes, sir.
I think that chapter 2 talks about created to bear authority.
Yeah, created to bear authority.
Yeah, and I think in a way, yeah, it talks about a man of responsibility, which we have talked about. So let's just jump to chapter 3. I'm mindful of our time.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, chapter 3.
Play the man.
I love this. Play the man. What does it mean to play the man?
Well, playing the man is doing those things that God expects us to do.
Sorry, let me pause. I promise to read the comments online. Please, thank you, those online, for your comments. Sam, he says, for a sister who is not married, she's under the biological father's authority. He says, excerpts from the book. What if there's no biological father in place anymore?
Mm.
So, I think the balance is, we are all under God's authority, under the authority of Christ. Because it's even Christ that gives even the man the authority to serve.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Bright said the man, I guess, is talking about the man who's not married. The man who's not married is heading his career. While he's preparing to head the woman when it is time.
Yeah, because that's why I looked at it in that perspective.
Okay, all right. Anyone, thank you. Zipe Uriem, I wonder who that is. He said, responsibility and service, not a dictatorship. Mm. That's coming from a man. Please celebrate that man, please. Celebrate that man. Okay, all right. So, play the man.
So, playing the man is basically, it's very simple. Okay, if you look at it, the theme for this month, it's saying growing and maturing your heart. And if you look at it from that context, you realize that we as men, you know, there are certain things or certain aspects of us that God expects us to, of the certain roles and responsibilities and authority God expects from us to play in our families and in our marriages. And that first comes in building that relationship with God, first of all, and which is developing ourselves spiritually. And, you know, because you cannot lead or you cannot give what you don't have.
Mm.
So once you want to lead your wife, you want to lead your family, you have to first have been in that environment with God, be in that place with God, be right, you know, develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit, hear from God, you know, and in ways like that, you start to mature, because when certain problems happen, you know, the man is the first person that God will ask. What, not ask your wife, he will ask you, now, what have you done? How did this happen? If there's any misbehavior in the house, God asks you after husband, you know. And, you know, if you look back into the Adam and Eve story, when Eve ate the apple, God asked Adam, where are you?
It wasn't an apple.
No, it was a fruit, sorry.
Yeah, fruit. Just so to correct
the,
that.
The Adam apple is also
yeah, we always talk about Adam's,
so, Adam's apple. So, Adam, okay. Where are you? And that was the first question because, you know, he was the one who was created into the garden. He had that environment. He had that relationship with God. And, you know, God is just asking us as men to just play that image, you know, because if we carry the image of God, you know, we are supposed to carry that, what God expects in us to do in our marriages. And the second one, and, you know, and when you have that relationship with God, then there's no how you can mislead your wife.
Okay.
There's no how you can mislead your wife. And then he also wants us to be he wants us to play an authority position, not a dictatorship position, but be an authority, which is, you know, when your wife maybe wants something or maybe is asking for something that you feel is not right, God wants you to be in a position to say no. And, you know, and that no is not coming from a dictatorship, you know, no, but you know that, okay, you've heard what the Holy Spirit is saying about a particular thing.
Okay.
And you feel that, you know, you as the man, you've been there, you've actually sat with God, you've heard from God, you know, you've been in that place of worship. God has told you that thing your wife is asking for.
It's no.
It's a no.
So the no is just simply coming to say what God said.
What God said.
Not that you just want to exactly. say no, to no let for, her know. I'm exactly, in charge here.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's only a man who has actually, you know, had that structure.
Okay.
And without a structure, there can't be a flow.
That's the structure of having a relationship.
Of having a relationship.
With Christ.
With Christ, okay. Yeah.
Right. Play the man. Apostle Cruz, are you still there? Can you give us a one-liner? What does it mean to play the line? Are they still
yes,
there?
Yes, sir. What comes to mind is what Uncle Eze has been talking to us a lot about regarding absent fathers and absent husbands. And I think what tends to happen is we as men can make that mistake of slipping through life where we allow things to happen and not us making things to happen. So things will happen to us, things will happen to our wives, our children, and we are not actually making things to happen. And when I say making things to happen, we going into the place of prayer and actually praying to God. So regarding situations concerning our children, regarding situations concerning our wives, we just let things flow. And really, we just sit down and bask in that, walking, bringing money in, and in the real things that have to that pertains to the lives of the wife and the children, we just allow situation of lives to just happen unto us. And here, the book was talking about us playing the role of the man, where we are the ones that should be the advocates. We go to the father on behalf of the children. The chapter 2 that we missed, it talked about the power that God has put into us as men. In Numbers, it said, if our children go out and they make an oath, even with God, and we as men, we hear it, and we go back to God and we say, no, God, we don't want this to happen. That God himself in the heavens would cancel that oath. He would hear us. And if God can hear us and listen to what we say in our role as a man, as a husband, as a father, that even the devil cannot go against us, that we have such a great power that we should play that role. So if a child is sick in the house, we should not just allow that sickness to run. We should go on our knees to God. And these are the reasons why God made us the head. If there's an issue maybe at work with your wife, you should be the one that will go on your knees to God and speak on behalf of that thing. You don't just allow things to just happen. If there's something going on maybe in your community where you're living, you should be the one to stand in the charge. Go to Christ, who is your head, and actually take that case to Christ and bring back a feedback for your family, for your home, for your children, for your wife.
Okay.
We need to step into that role to play the man.
Right. You have said something here that is so we shouldn't just let slip by. I'm saying this based on various interactions, you know, we have as men. You find out that when it comes to, in quote, spirituality,
yeah.
Women tend to push things to our wives. Oh, yeah, my wife will pray about it. My wife is a prayer warrior. But now, part of our service, from what we are realizing now as men, we are actually the ones who should take the lead to pray. Men, even though, you know, I'm taking it literally, said men always ought to pray. Of course, it's talking about everybody to pray, but there is something about men playing the lead. Don't just, you come, drop your wife for prayer meeting, and then come back and pick out. My wife will pray about it, I know. You take the lead. You pray.
Don't pray.
Take your place of authority. Right? Are we still upsetting men? Let me see if there's any comment like that. Okay, Udi Brandy, thank you for this comment. Here's what he said. The head is carried by the body. So no headmaster, but head servant. Because part of what we learn from the scriptures is the man being the head, looking at the physical body, there's a body carrying the head. So the head really can't really accomplish much without the body carrying it. So it's a partnership, not a lordship. When we look at the context of family. But then for those of us who are not yet married, whether male or female, Christ is our head. Basically, we take reference of everything we want to do. We take instructions. We consult. We know the mind of God over issues, basic decisions we make in life. You know, for the unmarried male, if you're not married, who is controlling your decisions? Who's inspiring all the things you do? How are you taking control over your life? Can you make basic decisions and do them right before you take the responsibility of now wanting to make decisions on behalf of your wife and innocent children? And, you know, statistics has shown that the problems of young people in the society, a high percentage, I don't know the exact figures, you know, from research, is traced to fatherlessness. I'm not talking of the father not, I mean, died. No, father is there, but they are not taking their position, operating from their place, abdicating, you know, their roles. But, you know, I'm praying, you know, as these things are coming and we're getting convicted, it's not to condemn us, it's just for us to pray, to for our hearts to cry, God, things must be right. Let us, male, female, let us take our place of authority. Let's have that relationship with God. You know, time will fail us. You know, chapter 4 is talking about how to be a real husband.
Yeah.
And
it just ties, you know, into.
Let me see. Do you want to just let me just say some things here, and then you can quickly summarize because of time. How to be a real husband? It says husband the head, husband the savior, husband, and he said and gave himself for her sacrificial burnt offering. That is totally. Giving yourself to your wife, to your family. So, do you want to say something quickly about, and then we round up there today, how to be a real husband. Okay, we're talking about men.
Yeah.
Real men.
For this chapter 4, I think every man has a mandate to represent Christ, you know, in their home. And, you know, when they love their wives, it's not about just saying, I love you, you know, in the physical sense of it, but it's your actions, you know, the way you take care of, the way you lead your family, you know, the kind of things you do, you know, with your wife and your home, you know, are you ready to die for your wife? Are you ready to, you know, take the first bullet? Are you ready to sacrifice, you know, when certain challenges happen? Are you ready to, you know, put your head down and say, yes, I'll make sure that, you know, they are protected? And it's just, you know, it's not in the physical sense of it as well, but there are some little minor things, you know, that, that we men sometimes we do, and that, you know, that actually, you know, that moves away from that design plan that God wants us to be as real men, which is not, you see, that you don't listen to your wife enough when she speaks.
Mm.
That alone is a way of not giving yourself totally, because at the end of the day, because my wife complains a lot about it, you don't listen. And I know it's true. I don't sometimes. So
will you start listening?
I'll start.
Did you hear that? Don't be listening.
So
he said it on camera. He's going to start listening.
I'm going to start listening, because I just feel like that is very, very important, because she might be saying some things via the Holy Spirit, you know, for me to understand. And that could save our lives, you know. And if I don't listen, I might not connect at that point in time to understand, oh, you know, what she's saying. It might actually be God speaking through her to me as the head of the home, to my family in certain ways.
As the head servant.
The head servant, yeah. The head servant.
All right.
So, yeah. Okay. So God is just putting us as real husband, you know, to just play that.
Okay. Let me throw this to, you know, I'm just mindful of time. Thank you very much. Yes. And thank you for being vulnerable. Please let's celebrate Polycarp. You know? One of the things I would say personally is what it means to be a real man. We talked about taking responsibility.
Yeah.
My hand, raising your hands up, you know what? I'm wrong here. Being able to admit when you're wrong. You said it. It seems like I'm not listening enough, and I'm going to start listening.
Yeah.
That's what it means to be a real man. It's not trying to appear on camera, braggado. Yeah, you know, I listen to my wife, and my wife who's watching can testify. She will just send a text. He doesn't listen. You know, so thank you for being vulnerable.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Uche, you
sir.
Are hearing chapter 4 says how to be a real husband. How's the preparation going, sir? To be a real husband, what does that mean to you? You are preparing to be a real husband, I believe?
Yes, sir.
Okay, can you have 2 minutes to make your what do you call it, Zipe? Your pitch. When you want to get a contract.
When you want to attract investors.
Okay, when you want to attract investors, what do you call it?
Pitch.
A pitch. Okay, you've got 2 minutes pitch. Why that sister X should say yes to you? So, how is the preparation? What does it mean to be a real husband? So that you can see it.
Okay, so I think for me, it really has to do with just living the life, the Christ-like life. The reason I say so is because Scripture says, how can you say you love God who you've not seen when you've not loved men that you can see? You know, so I feel like as much as we say we love God and all that, we demonstrate it in our love for people. So for someone like me who's preparing to enter into marriage and to become a husband, and I think this also goes for everyone who's listening who isn't married, because, you know, we've been talking about fathers, husbands, it's very easy for you to feel detached from the conversation. But I feel like when you have the understanding that, you know, even outside the husband-wife relationship, God expects you to be Christ-like to everyone around you. In scripture,
let me pause you there. I want you to break it down. What does it mean to be Christ-like?
Okay.
You might have somebody watching who doesn't even know who Christ is.
Okay. All right. So breaking it down is one of the easiest ways I find is to really go into 1 Corinthians 13. You know, I think that's probably one of the easiest ways of really understanding, because God is love, Christ is love. The Christianity is captured in love. For you to be a true Christian, for you to be a true husband, for you to be a true father, you have to demonstrate love. And how do you know what love is? Is by, you know, reading what God says love is. So love is kind. Love is patient. Love is not rude. Love does not believes all things. Love is honest. Love does not keep record of wrongs. All those things. So those are the practical ways you show love to people if you're not married, and it begins to show that you're ready to take responsibility. Are you a forgiving person? Am I a forgiving person? Am I ready to serve others even at my expense? Am I ready to sacrifice? Am I ready to give? Am I ready to give of myself even when it's inconvenient? By the time I start doing all these things before I get married, I'm beginning to tell God that, okay, yes, I'm actually ready to be a husband. So I think these are ways. And then for people that are already in marriage, you know, it's still the same thing. It really doesn't change. It's just from one level to another, God begins to give you better revelations as regards your wife, you know, as, you know, in this context.
Thank you very much, Dr. Uche. Did we lose him, or is he still there?
No, I'm still here, sir.
Oh, okay. Still here, sir. So are you ready to be a real husband, sir?
I think so. I think I am, by God's grace. It's still a learning curve for me, but I think I'm getting there.
How do you know, sir?
Just based on what I said, you know, the demonstration of the things I'm reading as I practice them, as I get feedback as well, you know, so you also have to have some sort of accountability, you know, your family members, your church members, you know, the kind of feedback they give you, you know, you have very honest conversations with them and they tell you that, oh, you're doing this, you're not doing this. And then you respond, you know, if they, for instance, make a constructive criticism that, oh, you're not this, you're not, you know, caring enough, you don't listen when people talk, you're a bit rude, you have an abrasive manner, or, you know, so when they give you all this kind of feedback in love, you know, you make those corrections and then they give you feedback and say that, oh, okay, it's like you've changed or you're changing. Your family members give you feedback, oh, you're generous, oh, you have our time, oh, you're listening, you organize the family, you get the family together, you know, you do this, you do all that information you process, and that begins to tell you whether you're ready, it begins to tell you how well you're doing and how much work you still need to put in.
Okay, you mentioned accountability and getting feedback. I have one of your family members live here. Would you like a feedback on live?
Like, yeah, I don't mind, actually.
And do you want a feedback from me too?
Live feedback? Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay, that is Dr. Uche. Dr. Uche, I think you are ready for marriage, and we're praying that it will happen very, 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 very soon.
Amen. Amen.
You are becoming more Christ-like. I've known you for how many years now? How many years?
About seven or 8 years.
Okay, yeah, that's long enough. And wish you the best. And I know that very, 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 very soon, we will be there.
Amen.
Okay, we will be there. Amen. So, or do you still want the feedback from the family member?
If she wants to, I don't mind.
Family member, Mommy Sissy, she's here. Can you please say something? Give him a feedback. No, just say something. He's your biological brother. You've known him since he was born. By the way, did you change his diapers?
not that type of feedback.
All right, just say that. I will echo it here. What have you got to say about your brother? What will you say to the potential sister who will marry him? Your sister says you will make a very good husband. Please, let's clap. Let's clap. I actually think so too, Dr. Uche. So I will say yes too. I think you are ready. You are not the same person I know 7 years ago. So well done, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, final word from you, Apostle Cruz. You are a husband already. And or should we get feedback from your wife if you are a real husband? Mrs. Cruz, are you watching? All right, sir. How is everybody there again? I hope things are getting better.
Yeah, everyone is fine, sir.
Final word, sir.
And that's from Matthew 6:24. And if we look at Matthew 6:24, it talks about the fact that one cannot serve two masters. It's either you serve one or you serve the other. And sometimes as men, the mistake we make is that the organogram says that we are meant to be under Christ. We're meant to serve Christ. And sometimes we tend to chase money and save money.
This is
where we tend to miss it, because we try to serve two masters at the same time. We try to serve Christ and we try to save money. And we understand that it's a deception of the enemy. It gets us very busy. And it takes our attention from the one who is our head. And once you take your attention from the one who is your head, everything, the people that are following you, everything below will be chaos. And that's an area. Sometimes it may not be money. It may be our pride that we are serving. Mm. And we are not fully serving Christ. We're not fully under that structure of Christ. It may be something that we are hiding. It talks about the fact that we should not have our head covered, because our head is Christ. And when it says our head covered, it's talking about sin. So sometimes it may be sin that is holding us back. I mean, I just want us as men to look into this. Are you serving money alongside with Christ, thinking that you're doing a great service? It changes the dimension or how things should go. Because if you're not fully serving Christ, if you're not fully, that Matthew 6:24 says that if you're trying to serve something else apart from Christ, alongside with Christ, you're not fully serving Christ. You're serving that thing. And you cannot serve two masters at the same time. So it's something that caught my attention while we're just reflecting now. And I think sometimes we make that mistake of trying to serve other things apart from our head, the one who is our head, not paying full attention to our head. And every other thing, the children, the family, things get chaotic because we followed something else apart from Christ.
Mm. Thank you very much. Let me just, please let's appreciate Apostle Cruz, those of us here. Jamola, thank you very much. And feedback from me too. I have known you for a while, and you are just getting better and better and better and better, real man by the day. And I'm sure Apostle Mrs. Cruz can also testify to that. So thank you very much for that. The comments, let's just read the comments for those online as we just round up. It's Father's Day, but we are focusing on the men who will become fathers. So if you want to give it a topic today, we are talking about real men, right? Real men. Okay, so thank you for the comments online. Yes, Zipe Urem, play the man. Be the prayer priest. Sanctify your wife. Nourish and cherish your wife. Fight the devil on behalf of your family. Pay the price for the family. Thank you very much for that. Another comment here. Yes, another feedback for you, Dr. Uche. Ezipe says Dr. Uche is definitely ready. So you have three feedbacks in the matter of two or three witnesses. Let every real man, husband to be ready, be established. Okay? Another one, Dr. Uche is an angel is coming to your way very, very soon. That's a prophecy, okay? No, please don't marry an angel. Marry a real woman, okay?
Marry a yogi.
You know, there are no angels. Let me just tell you now. Just marry a real woman. You know, because at times our expectations. All right. I think that is okay, Dr. Okay, you the brandy. Why the question? Can you take the bullet for your wife? How about praying and believing God for no bullets to be taken? Mm. Well, to just balance things in life, things happen. Things can go wrong, challenges come, things we didn't plan for. Mm. At times as men, and I'm talking as a man myself, as a husband, a father, you know, there are times you make mistakes.
Yeah.
There are times you drop your guard. And when you drop your guard, there's an enemy out there who does not, is no respecter of
persons.
Persons. Mm. the bullet of the enemy can hit.
Yeah.
So we can pray, but I think let's watch and also pray. But when bullets hit, because there might be people watching who are hurting, who are going through a tough time in their family, and of course, you know, Father's Day also is a mixture of so many things to people. Mm. You know, it brings memories that people don't want at times. So, you know, we're just praying that the Comforter and the words we've heard today will heal, will reset, will, you know, renew us and refresh and restore, you know, the years, locusts, cankerworm, anything that's been stolen, any bullet that's, you know, caused some damage, we pray there'll be healing, there'll be deliverance. So, you know, on this note, you know, we've had a little extended service. It's Father's Day special. I want to thank Mr. Folusho here, Brother Folusho Olumekun. Please, let's appreciate him. Our men's leader, Damola Cruz Adelusi, and Dr. Real Husband to Be, Uche Babuto. Amen. Amen. All right. Can I just ask those of us online and those of us in the studio? I don't know, whichever, this word has touched something, ignited something, or even if it's a raw nerve and it's brought a bit of discomfort, please, let's not ignore these things. Let's pray. The Holy Spirit is here. The Spirit of the living God, wherever you are watching to, is with you. So we pray. Let's just pray. Lord, it's all down to our hearts. That is what God is looking at. That is where this word is sent to. It's not sent to our feelings. It's sent to our hearts. So Lord, heal me. Fill me. Strengthen me. Change me. And if you need more clarity, please go and search the scriptures more. Lord, speak more to me. Help me. I am falling short in this area. I've just fallen. Lord, help me to rise again. Help me. And we pray over families. We pray over individuals. We pray over those married, not married. We pray wherever state, wherever level, wherever disposition anybody is right now. We ask in the name of Jesus. The word you've heard today will heal, will deliver, will set free. Lord, we bring our hearts before you. We bring our hearts before you, O God. Heal, restore, give us new hearts, pour new spirits in us, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, by reason of today, thank you that the process you have begun, Lord, this time next year, we will see a perfection, a completion, all to your glory in our individual lives and in families represented here and individuals in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. And amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us. And we have to sign up on this note. God bless you. Please, let's just wait for the announcements.